Hey everybody, and welcome back to Storytime with Shade. We've got a brand new story for you today. Before we jump into that, this episode is sponsored by Orange Hat Film Productions. They're a very talented group of people creating original indie films and content. There's a bunch of stuff you can check out at their website for free at orangehatfilmproductions.com. That's including shorts, music videos, documentaries, and much, much more. So to check out some of their content, you can go to their website, orangehatfilmproductions.com, or just search for Orange Hat Film Productions on Facebook or Instagram. Thank you once again for sponsoring the podcast, guys. And without any further ado, on to the story. Joe woke up in the morning and exited the tent onto a lovely orange sunrise. He stretched and yawned before walking a little ways away and urinating on a pine tree. When he returned to their site, he decided to start a small fire. He figured that his family would start to emerge from the tents and be hungry any time now. No doubt awoken by the same loud birds that interrupted his sleep, and unsatisfied with rousing one camper prematurely, they would continue to squawk until the intruders were all awake. He started a fire and waited, getting a water bottle from the cooler and taking small sips as he surveyed the campground. The birds in question were black, crows or ravens, he couldn't be sure. Was there even a difference? He knew a group of crows was called a murder, that was about it. They unsettled him either way. Joe had never been superstitious. Even as a child, he never had a very large sense of wonder. He preferred to live in reality, thank you very much. Why then were these circling birds unnerving him so? Probably just some dead rabbit in the forest they're pecking at. Relax, Joe. As if they could hear his inner thoughts and refuse to be ignored, the birds cawed louder. Something had them riled up, that was for sure. He sat by the fire and watched the birds circle overhead until Ella emerged from the tent as well, puffy-eyed and yawning. She walked over to Joe and planted a small kiss on his forehead before sitting next to him and cuddling close to the fire.
Are the boys not up yet?
No. The birds woke me up. I'm sure they'll be up soon.
Yeah, what the hell? We've come here every summer for years now, and I don't remember ever seeing so many.
Yeah, me neither. They sat for a few minutes looking into the fire before Ella walked away to relieve herself. When she came back, she began unpacking some food for them to have a small breakfast before they went out for a morning hike. She began to cook some sausages over the fire. Before long, the smell was in the air, and the couple noticed the tent start to show signs of life. The tent unzipped slowly, and Adam emerged, almost tripping on his way out of the tent. "Gotta piss," he said, before jogging away.
"Language!"
"Sorry," he yelled back, but didn't slow. When Adam returned, Ella handed him a small plate, and he started eating, making small noises every few bites. "Can you get your brother up, please? We should head out fairly soon before it gets too hot," Joe said to his oldest son, who looked up puzzled. "I thought he was already up." Joe and Ella exchanged a quick, worried glance, and Joe turned to his son to clarify. "He wasn't in the tent when you woke up?" Adam shook his head, the realization that his brother wasn't around the campfire slowly starting to sink in. His mouth hung open a little as he said, "I thought he was already awake with you guys." Ella looked over at Joe with a clear look of panic, and he stood and placed an arm on her shoulder. "Okay, calm down. He probably walked far away to have a poop or something. I'll go look for him. You guys stay here in case he comes back, okay?"
"Okay,"
Adam said through a mouthful of sausage, his 11-year-old mind already settled by the prospect of his father going out to search. Ella looked deeply into Joe's eyes, and she searched them, for what she wasn't sure. He looked back at her steadily and said, "Don't worry, I'll find him. I promise," before walking off into the woods. "For fuck's sakes," Joe thought to himself as he trudged through the dense forest. "Kid knows better than to go that far." "Eli," he called, and then a little louder.
"Eli, where are you, bud?"
The buzzing of insects and the squalor of birds were making a fair amount of noise, but not enough that he wouldn't be heard over them, so he tried again.
"Eli!"
he shouted, and then listened. Silence answered. Fuck, Joe said, as he continued walking.
You have no idea where your brother went?
Ella said as she paced back and forth through their small campsite.
How would I know?
Her heart was beginning to beat faster for every minute that Joe didn't return with their son, and she was growing increasingly worried. The trails were all clearly marked. Either he would end up at their parking lot, or loop back to them. She knew that Eli was a smart boy, but she couldn't help but fear for the worst. What if he was gone? What if he was dead?
Because you're his brother! You were sharing a tent!
Adam sat near the fire and stared into it, gritting his teeth. He wanted to be mean. Eli wasn't his responsibility, after all. But instead, he said,
I don't know, Mom, okay? He woke up in the middle of the night to go pee, I think. For all I know, he didn't even come back.
Ella stopped pacing and stared at her son, who looked back at her with matching concern.
You mean he could have gotten lost last night?
Fuck! The fuck am I gonna do if I can't find him? With an ever-increasing panic in his voice, he shouted out for Eli a few more times, swatting tree branches out of his way and scanning the ground for any trace of little shoe prints or scuffs in the dirt that he could find, but found nothing. Even though the sky was mostly blotted out by the trees of the forest, Joe could still hear the mocking sound of the crows circling overhead, as if they were following him, monitoring his progress as he trudged through the thick wood, calling his youngest son's name.
You could at least be helpful!
He cried out to the birds, and they squawked loudly in response.
Okay, don't panic. Just don't panic. You'll find him. Just keep looking.
Joe sighed and continued along the trail, every minute or so taking the time to call out for Eli and listen for any kind of response. There was none. Though he grew increasingly worried, he tried to stay level-headed and calm as he continued along. He knew that being worried was a rational response, but not a very logical one most of the time. While he and Ella imagined increasingly hopeless and gruesome scenarios the more the time stretched on, he knew that more than likely he had just wandered a little too far and gotten turned around. All the more reason to keep looking and remain calm. His mind betrayed him, as did his imagination, as he saw clearly in his mind's eye his young boy lying face up in a pool of blood, the crows that were circling overhead drawn by his corpse, and his eyes the first course as the crows savagely pecked at his face in the beginnings of a feeding frenzy.
Jesus, get a hold of yourself. He's fine. He's gonna be fine.
Joe kept walking, and with every second that stretched on, became more and more terrified that he would never see his son again. Ella's panic had turned into a near delirium as she questioned her oldest son. As the questions continued and his answers proved unsatisfactory, Adam's unease started to spiral into a deep pit of worry. Tears began to form and swell in his eyes as he cried,
I don't know, I'm sorry.
Ella let out a massive, exasperated sigh before stomping off. She called out behind her,
I'm going to the check-in center. I'll see if he's there or if anyone saw him. Don't move.
Adam watched her trudge away through the brush with tears in his eyes, wiping them away with his sleeve and sniffling as she faded from view. He was left alone at the campsite and watched as the birds circled. He wondered darkly if they considered him a potential meal, or if their circling was because of a meal. He looked at his watch, a small plastic thing. It read in a dull green, 7:24. That means it had only been about 10 minutes. 10 minutes since he'd made his parents aware that his brother wasn't in the tent with him when he woke up. He pondered just how long his parents would continue searching before they gave up, if they gave up, on finding Eli. He cynically wondered. They couldn't stay out here forever. Seconds stretched slowly into minutes, and the minutes into hours. Ella had returned not long after leaving to inform Adam that nobody had seen him up there at the check-in, but told him, in an attempt to be reassuring, that she had notified them, and there were now other people looking as well. He'd show up in no time.
Any time now, your dad or one of the park rangers will come back into camp with your little brother, okay?
And she said this every 15 minutes or so, or some variation thereof. Adam didn't have the heart to tell her that the odds were only getting worse the longer time went on. He didn't think she could bear to hear it. She would perk her head expectantly every time there was a rustle from the forest, as if at any moment he would just come strolling back, but it never happened. It was around noon that Joe returned, alone and desperate looking. "He's still not here?" he said, out of breath. Ella shook her head and began sobbing. Joe went and put an arm around her, telling her reassuring lies that everything would be okay. They'd find him yet. He'd keep looking. Adam dropped his head and stared at the ground. Adam never saw his brother again. His parents never gave up hope. Not quite. But as the years went on, there was a glassy, distant look in his mother's eyes that became more and more frequent, until years later when Joe and Adam lost her as well. Joe passed away not long after, torn apart by the grief of not only losing his son, but forever losing the love of his life as well. Adam grew up, got married, and had kids of his own. He was a protective father, but not overbearing. He told himself as he grew old that some things happen for a reason. Some things had no reason at all and happened nonetheless. He would never take his children camping. He couldn't bear the thought of waking up in the morning like his father had, and one of his daughters being gone. He didn't think he could bear it. He would continue searching through the forest until he died of starvation or went mad, he thought. But he couldn't possibly leave there until he found her. All those years, a part of him blamed his father for not doing more, but could he? He never told anyone that his brother had woken him up that night, that he had begged and pleaded for his older brother to come with him to go to the bathroom because he was too scared, that he refused and forced his brother out into the dark of the night without even a flashlight. That he thought he knew why the birds were circling that day. That, in essence, it was all his fault. He would take it to the grave. The end. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I really appreciate it. Hope you guys enjoyed the story. Hope, if anything, it unsettled you a little bit. We'll be back. I know I am consistently inconsistent, but I will be releasing at least one podcast every 2 weeks, hopefully more. I'd like to get back on a weekly schedule. I'm just doing a lot of things at once right now. But again, thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for more because there's plenty more to come. And until next time, have a good one.